hiring is really challenging. I know from experience, but I also know there is one place that you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/clones. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within the very first day. With results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter.com/clones, C-L-O-N-E-S. ZipRecruiter.com/clones. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Yo.
We'll start that third hour. A tremendous Wednesday to you. I'm Jim Rome. We're live at the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, so I'm still trying to give away a Masterbuilt smoker for free. 1-800-636-8686. Single best contribution is going to rip that thing. In fact, I've got two of these things to give away. I started the week with five, gave one away on Monday, did not give one away yesterday. So I've got two to give away today. If I don't give one away today, I've got three to give away tomorrow. Somebody step up. Claim your prize. It's free. We are joined right now by a national college football writer for CBSSports.com. Also a good friend of this here jungle. Dennis Dodd is my guest. Dennis, so good to have you back. What's up? How are you?
Jim, I am on Urban Watch 2018. I'm great.
Good, good. Why don't we start right there then? So Ohio State University trustees, Dennis, were meeting this morning to discuss Urban Meyer's future. You have covered college football. You have covered all sorts of different scandals. What do you make of how the university has handled this entire matter?
It's been strange since Urban really made it a story on or about July 25th at the Big Ten Media Days. And basically doubled, tripled, quadrupled down on the fact that he didn't know about Zach Smith's 2015 incident. And that's really when it became a story, because he in fact says he did know, Jim. We know that because of a tweet he had a couple of weeks ago. And that's why I think his job hangs in the balance. I don't particularly think he will get fired, but I guess we're going to find out sometime really soon.
All right, so are we going to find out really soon in that sense? Because Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch tweeted that an Ohio State spokesperson came right out and told the media that it could go on for quite some time, and there was no promise that that decision would be revealed today. What, if anything, Dennis, do you read into that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, the longer it takes, the more you would think that, I guess, his job is at risk. But that's pure speculation. We were told before this trustees meeting even started that it could go beyond Wednesday. You know, we might have an announcement later this week. But I think there are a lot of things to decide here, Jim. What Urban Meyer knew when he knew it, you now have this Brett Murphy, McMurphy story coming out with sex toys being allegedly ordered in the facility, sex in the facility allegedly by Zach Smith. And that raises the question, Jim, only because Urban Meyer didn't tell the truth in Chicago, what did he know about that as the state's highest paid employee? That has to be considered, too. I would hope that Ohio State's asking those questions, as outrageous as that sounds, he's made himself subject to those questions.
Dennis Dodd joining us. I mean, Dennis, the question that I keep asking that I simply cannot figure out a good answer to is, why would Meyer keep Zach Smith around?
Right.
Do you have any sense as to why he would do that?
You know, yeah, you make a great point. Like, why would Urban Meyer die on that hill? Or that's a metaphor. You know, why would he hire this guy? Obviously, we've read that he was a grandson of Earl Bruce. Earl Bruce is one of the most admired men in Urban Meyer's life. But he not only hired him, he rehired him. And at Ohio State in 2011 when he got that job. So the question has to be asked, did he notify his superiors of the 2009 incident, which he has said he knew about? when Zach Smith allegedly abused his wife in their home. And if he didn't tell them, why didn't he tell them? And did the school properly vet Zach Smith in 2011? And that's kind of why we're here, over a receivers coach.
We're talking to Dennis Dodd. And on top of that, Urban Meyer, Dennis, of course, has claimed that his first two core values are honesty and treat women with respect. He's such a firm believer in both these things. He's had them painted on the wall in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center.
Yep.
How well has he lived up to those core values in the way he's handled this Zach Smith matter?
Well, it would seem not very well. In fact, when you open the doors and walk down that long hallway in that facility, those words stand out, treat women with respect. And, you know, if he does retain his job in any shape or form, even with a suspension, how does he walk into any home now and tell any mother that, you know, he's going to take care of her son? You know, if I'm a mother, first thing I bring up is, yeah, but there's this. So, and you just can't overlook it. You can't just brush it under the carpet. I don't know what kind of job he's done with that. I guess we're going to find out from the trustees.
So, Dennis, one more thought about that. Why would Ohio State bring him back? I mean, do you think it's a matter of them believing that they can't do better than him as a coach? Or do you think they actually think that he did his job appropriately, or at least reasonably well enough that they can't justify firing him?
Well, he's basically dared them to fire him. If you saw that tweet a couple of weeks ago, if you read between the lines, he basically said, I changed my mind. I did know about it in 2015. I told my superiors, and if you fire me, you owe me $38 million in a buyout. And, oh, by the way, Gene Smith, me too. He's the athletic director. So that, to me, that in itself is an act of insubordination while you're under investigation and suspended. He went off the reservation to tweet that and try to set up, a PR war inside the media. But, you know, where he goes from here, you know, I don't know. I think they're going to have to take that into account when they do this.
Dennis Dodd joining us. All right, Dennis, also a story from USA Today alleging violations at Texas A&M regarding possible improper benefits for recruits, violating practice rules, and potential mistreatment of an injury. I mean, Dennis, college football has had a really tough offseason. How would you describe the state of the game right now?
It's not very good. These stories have revealed the underbelly, the seamy underbelly of the game, Maryland's included in all this, that there is still that culture out there, Jim, and part of what's been alleged by the transfer student at A&M is he was made to practice while he wasn't fully healed. It was abusive, words said at him and players. They were practice outside of the time they were supposed to practice in the summer. And this whole enterprise, Jim, has gotten too big, too fast, too big to fail. So much money, so much hubris. There's no regulation of it. Texas A&M will live on. This will probably end up, if anything, an NCAA infraction. It won't take the program down. But if it's happening there, where are the pressures other places? What is happening all over the country? We just got done with Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze and the length they went to secure a recruiting class in 2016. So I just think it just says at the highest levels, all this is still going on, and it's pretty significant.
Dennis Dodd joining me. Now, Dennis, you also, I mean, as if the sport didn't have enough to worry about already, there is the prospect of the expansion of legalized sports gambling and the impact it might have on the sport itself. You recently talked to my guy Michael Franzese about the possibility of fixing games and how that might happen. So what kind of player is most likely to be a target for game fixers?
Jim, I have to give you credit. Dropping your name helped me get the interview with Michael Franzese because I had heard him so many times on your show.
Nice.
And he was great. I mean, I wanted to dig down because he talked to you and me about fixing games when he was in the mob. And I said, how does that look? What does it look like in college football? And many of the same techniques apply in basketball. But I think we all know, Jim, it's a bit easier in basketball because there's fewer players. I said, how does it work in football? And he said, there's one way. You know, you get a guy that's gambling and maybe gets upside down. That happens among college students, believe it or not. He's a senior on a team, and he's got no prospects in the pros. And you go to him and say, hey, how would you like to make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 the easy way? And the kid goes, oh, I'm interested. All you have to do is keep the game under 14 or under 9 or whatever the spread is. Remember, this is not about the outcome of the game. It's about always about the spread. That's where these guys make their money. And they get, he said they get a quarterback, a running back, even a linebacker, believe it or not, and tells the guy, hey, the first three times you carry the ball, you drop it. Or he said the biggest, or quarterback, you know, throw an interception or make it close. He said the thing you have to watch for is watching garbage time. When somebody drops a pass or a game doesn't cover or something like that, but it's already decided in a 21-point game. That he said he can watch a game now, Jim, and tell if it's been fixed based on what I just told you.
I'm not surprised at all. Dennis Dodd joining us. Michael Franzese is, he's one of the most compelling figures I've ever spoken to literally my entire life. And not just that, right? Then what about the officiating crew? What about the officiating crew? He talks about what it would take, what kind of player it would take. What about the possibility of the member of an officiating crew who's working that game? How did he say that would play out?
Well, that's really, they're vulnerable because we've already seen it with Tim Donaghy. Who he still talks to, by the way, in the NBA. That was the pros. In colleges, they're contract workers. In college football, the officials make between, I think, $1,000 and $3,000 per game, and they have full-time jobs. And the example he said is, what if you need a little extra money for Christmas? You know, you throw a flag here, you throw a flag there. It's not too hard to imagine. I mean, we're talking, look, the stuff we just talked about with these schools, Jim, why can't that happen to one person who compromises their values? And I think it does happen. One major conference this offseason brought in an FBI agent to talk about the new gambling atmosphere. So I think it's that serious. I think those are vulnerable areas in college sports.
You know, Dan, so one last point. I mean, you make the point that there's a reason that there haven't been a lot of college football betting scandals and that college basketball point shaving is easier. I get that. That's a very good point. But just because there haven't been public scandals, does that mean that it's not happening and that it couldn't happen?
I think it's definitely happening. I touched the nerve with Michael Franzese when I said, what percentage of games do you think are fixed? And he got real quiet and he said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. Well, that told me there not only are some, but there's a significant number. Let's just say it's 10% out of, I don't know, how many games are there during a season, 800, 1,200 games in a college football season. If you get down, if somebody gets down on 10% of those games, you can make a whole heck of a lot of money. So I think it's definitely happening. The reason you don't see it is the reason you don't want people to see it. You know, it's underground. And there, to your point, there has been at least one major point shaving or game fixing scandal every decade since the 40s. Almost all of them have been basketball. There was Toledo, I think, in the early part of this century. But it's out there, Jim, and it's happening.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever. He's a national college football writer for CBSSports.com and a friend of the program, Dennis Dodd, my guest. Dennis, great to have you back. Really nice job.
All right, Jim. Thanks so much.
You got it. Dennis Dodd. And you had that conversation with Michael Franzese. And Michael Franzese would know. Michael Franzese would know because he lived that life for a long time. I mean, I think any one of us can watch a game because if you're listening to the program, you love sports, you know sports, you can watch a game in garbage time and say, man, that doesn't look right. That doesn't feel right. But I would love to sit and watch a number of games with Mike Franzese and get his thoughts because you know, because he was a part of that life for a very long time. So when he says, I can watch a game and tell you exactly where a game might be fixed or in fact is being fixed, I think it would be very naive to think that this sort of thing's not going on still. Just because there haven't been widely publicized scandals does not mean there are not still public scandals. We just don't know about them because they're underground. It'd be very naive to think, when you think about the exchange of money and the money going back and forth, that this is not still happening. And to Dennis Dodd's point that you can get a college kid who gets upside down, of course. College kids gamble. Lots of people gamble. It gets away from them. Then they're compromised. Mike Franzese, a number of times, has laid out on this show exactly how that goes. He had a really, really chilling explanation that they can compromise a player, a kid, a pro player. You get to them, and then you let them know, you will fix this. You owe us money. We're going to get our money. We don't care who you are. You will fix this. And here's how you're going to fix this. And he said, frankly, we don't care who you are. We're not awestruck. We're not starstruck. We want our money. It's business. And once you reach somebody like that, they will do what they have to do. All right, so when we come back, your reaction to that, if you want. In addition to it, I do want to talk about A&M. Is it a kid who couldn't cut it, who was soft, who had sour grapes, who got run off, and is now dropping a dime on the program where he was? Or is the kid telling the truth? Or is he motivated because he wants immediate eligibility and does not want to sit out? Let's get into all of that. 1-800-636-8686. And again, you're running out of time. I'm trying to give away a Masterbuilt smoker. It's free. Come and get it. It's right there. It's yours for the best contribution. Building professionals, listen up. If you're a contractor or a builder or a remodeler, Lumber Liquidators Pro Plus is the only partner you need for all of your flooring needs. With special pro-only pricing and dedicated support, LL Pro Plus will get you the help that you need. It will help you get all of your jobs done quickly and profitably. Now, you might be worried about selection and availability. Don't be. Lumber Liquidators has over 150 million square feet of flooring available with over 100,000 square feet in stock at most stores. Plus, they stock professional grade adhesives, underlayment, molding, tools, fasteners, grout. So you can get exactly what you need when you need it. If you're too busy to pick up the flooring, that's not a problem either. The LL Pro Plus team will deliver it right to your door. And with LL Pro Plus, you can even get a business line of credit. Everything you need right there. So put the LL Pro Plus flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales. Check it today.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and you need to stay strong, like Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil, three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. And that is not just me popping off. I've got proof. Proof in the form of the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger, under pressure. Kurt Orban. Again, I'm trying to give away a smoker. This guy wants one, I think. Hey, Rome, you know, if you were giving away a deep fryer or an ice cream machine or maybe a year's supply of soda, you would probably have the best content the show has ever seen. Considering you're giving away a smoker, which is at least half healthy, it's no wonder that a fat diabetic like Rick in Buffalo is in the clubhouse lead. What do you say you send that smoker up north to a guy who will actually use it to go with his diet of red meat and broccoli? Elk hunting is right around the corner, and my smoker is getting old. Appreciate it, pimp. Yours, Tyler in Edmonton. See, I love the way Tyler works that into his brand, his content. We're lean. We're mean. We're fit. We eat healthy. So send it to me. I love how his take also is, if you weren't giving away a Masterbuilt smoker, but rather a deep fryer or an ice cream machine or a year's supply of soda, I'd probably have some of the best content the show's ever seen. All right, so I'm going to separate that one. That goes in the same pile as Rick and Buffalo's. Both those guys are sitting in the clubhouse at 18 under, waiting. Romy. What's with all this talk of rips and smokers? You've got my attention. Regards, Iray, puffing ditch weed underneath an overpass. Signed, Geoff in Lincoln. Wore Iray using an old, busted tube television as a master-built smoker. Hey, Geoff, that's bum smack. Even if you don't use the word bum, that's bum smack. It's not allowed. Learn how to spell your own name, bro. Iray is on the street. Or last check, he was on the street. And a last check, still not funny. Somebody being homeless is nothing to laugh at. Even for you clones. Now, going back to Mike Franzese. If you heard the conversation I had with Dennis Dodd and you thought that was interesting, there's a whole lot more where that came from. Not only has he been on this show, but maybe you've heard him on this show. Dennis Dodd said, I've heard him on the show. Jim, that's one of the reasons I ran him down. Maybe you've heard him on this show, but maybe you have not heard the podcast. We did an exclusive podcast with Mike Franzese back in November of last year. It's awesome. And we talked about his life, his part of being a mob boss, the hard time that he did, and now the way he's reinvented himself. The fact that he lives out here in California and he goes nationwide and he lectures. He talks to people about the dangers of gambling. He goes to college campuses. He goes to college conferences. And he talks about exactly what could happen and what you do to prevent it. And he did lay out exactly how it is that the mob or others who are interested can get to athletes and compromise them. Say back in the day, Mike, when you were on the street and you had that conversation with an athlete, what was your message? What would you say?
Many times. I said, listen, you know, here's the deal, okay? You got 10 games left. Okay, tomorrow night you're favored. Let's say basketball. It's an easy game. You're favored to win by 15. Don't win by 15. Win by 10. Win by 8. Don't blow the game. We want you to win. Just don't cover the spread. Who's going to know? Who's going to know? You do that. I'm telling you, Jim, I pushed 10 grand across the table. I said, put this in your pocket. You do this for me 15 times. You got 150 grand. Who's better than you? Put it away. It's cash. Nobody's going to know. Gets in their head right away. You know, in a basketball game, it's easy to manipulate that spread.
It's five guys on the floor.
Very, very easy. Same with a referee. A referee can call a...
That's even better, right? A referee.
Much better. They can call a foul every time the ball goes up and down a court, or they don't have to call a foul. So they can manipulate the game so easy, just the spread.
Mike Franzese is amazing. He said, I could push 10 grand across the table to a kid and say, you don't need to lose. Go ahead and win the game. Just manipulate the outcome. Cover the spread. Nobody knows. Nobody gets hurt. And you don't lose. And there's 10 grand. Do that 50 times. 15 times. And then you've got 150 grand. Who's better than you? Listen. Check this out. Mike Franzese talked about fixing games on Ep 14. Scroll through the archives. There is amazing content to be heard on our podcast. Mike Franzese was one of our all-time highest downloaded pods. Check it out. Ep 14, still free. Great content. And not only great to listen to, but you'll get something out of it. You'll learn something. Michael Franzese, Ep 14. 47 episodes, a lot more that came from. And again, I don't want to give up exactly what it is, but we are going to add another original podcast. And as soon as I am at liberty to speak about that, I will. All right, when we come back, I'm giving away a smoker today, no matter what. I'm going to give away two today, no matter what. No matter what. The question is it going to go to you? When we return, straight to the phone calls. Guaranteed phone calls. Do not hang up if you're on hold, because I'm taking telephone calls next segment. First up, though, I owe you a sports update. Bottom of the hour, third hour sports update. Here it is. Stuck Nuts in. Jungle historian Stephen H. Town. He says, I hope the new podcast is a sports trivia show with two contestants, Adam Hawk and an actual hawk. That is not the new podcast. That is not the new podcast. There is a new podcast. And we're going to roll it out quickly. It is not the Alvin DeLauro podcast.
Do you clones
care what Alvin has to say about fantasy football? Do you want that information? Last season, during the season, Alvin was fielding questions on Twitter. Do you want more of that intel? Do you want more of that information? Do you care what the little guy has to say? Would you be willing to follow or listen, or are you in need of that information? Let me know. Hit me up. Hit me up. Dude. Check it out. Did you know that? He had a side hustle. In fact, most of my guys do have side hustles. I found this one out, though. Alvin was doing Cavs play-by-play as part of his side hustle. Go ahead, Alvin. You can roll it. I would have appreciated you telling me, you know, I support you. I'm about all things, and I'm about all of my guys doing what they can to better themselves. And this clearly was an example of you bettering yourself, except maybe just let me know, just so I find out about it from you directly and not from a million listeners who heard this.
95-95, 3 seconds left. Cleveland inbounds the ball. Top of the circle, LeBron gets the ball. 2 seconds, 1 second, LeBron for the win. Ah! LeBron James. Please stay LeBron.
That was gold. All right, Alvin, let me ask you something. And I know how this goes. Having done this, everybody who's in this business, aside from those who have, like, incredible self-love, it takes everybody a little bit of time to get used to hearing their own voice. And then it takes much longer to get used to seeing themselves on TV. Alvin, when you first heard yourself, what did that feel like? Dude, it still feels gross. It's understandable, dude. It sounds gross.
No, dude.
But it's smart. What was it like the first time you saw a video of yourself crossing over some fool in the championship game, putting him on skates, and breaking his ankles into a million different pieces? I bet that felt better. Dude, now that was arousing. That's what he said.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go to the ATP. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. And get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Pittsburgh having a big day. The Berg is back in. Tim in Pittsburgh. Jim, I know you said that you are not a handyman. What is the biggest DIY project you have handled yourself? Well, I built the house that we live in. No, I mean, seriously, I have no game for this sort of thing. I've got no skills whatsoever. I'm not a handy dude in any way at all, shape or form. I'm not proud of it. I'm just being real. I can't fix Jack. I can't do Jack. I'm not good at this at all. And the problem with that is, once you talk yourself into that, it's easy to get lazy with it and accept it. Oh, I'm not good at that. I'll pay somebody to do that. I'm not good at that. I'll have the wife do that. And so you just stop trying. However, I did have one good DIY project that I'm proud of. One that I am really proud of. So back in the day, we had this house. I didn't build the house. But my late father-in-law, built the house that Janet grew up in. Literally. He was a carpenter. An unbelievable craftsman. My father-in-law. Former vet. He built the house in Long Beach that Janet and her brothers grew up in. And they lived in the house 50 years. And in fact, Janet's mom still lives in that house. So this guy was a magician. In our home, which I did not build, we had this grand staircase. Like this double staircase that had this beautiful staircase and railing. But it was in wood. And I got it in my head. You know what I want? I want iron. Iron would look awesome. If you walk into the entryway of this house and you see iron going all the way up, man, that'd be beautiful. I found a company that did the iron work and was all hyped up. The company says to me, pull the wood out and we'll install the iron. I said, what the hell is that? You won't pull the wood out? Nope, Rome, we don't do that. We will do the installation. You pull the wood railing out. And I have no idea why we did this. I think Janet probably said, oh, my dad could do that. My dad could do that, and you'll help him. I'm like, all right. So me and my father-in-law went up on that staircase. We pulled that bitch out. broke a couple of Heinekens out, got out a toolkit. Man, I felt like a stud doing some work. DIY, baby. Pulled that entire railing out. It took about 4 hours. One Saturday afternoon. So me and Dad bonded, did a little DIY, got it done. See, there you go, Tim. That is my best project ever. I pulled that entire staircase out. I did not install the new one, though. This guy's back for more. If I'm not mistaken, is this not his third attempt this week to get the smoker? Let's find out. He failed in his first two attempts. Is this the day he gets it? Remember earlier today, in fact, I'm looking at the timestamp, 9:08 Pacific. In other words, about 5 minutes after I went on the air. Dear Jim, since you're giving away two smokers today, can we now expect multiple calls from that pathetic loser Vic in NoCal? Let me just buy you one, you freeloading D-bag. Rick in Buffalo. No, not multiple calls, just one. He's back for more. Victor.
Check out little Rick in Buffalo trying to come in via the email like a scared coward, like a bitch. Hey, Rick, pick up the phone and make a call, chump. Don't hide behind an email. Besides, it's just not the same when we can't hear that super cool WWF delivery of yours, man. It's so cool and tough. Hey, Rick, let me ask you something, dork. What does Jim Rome look like to you? Is he 72 years old? Does he have a little mustache? Is he bald? No, my man's got a thick head of spinach. So why do you talk to him like he's Mean Gene Okerlund, you clown? Talk like a normal human. You know, Rome, I've heard of annoying dumbasses who type everything in all caps lock. This freak show might be the first guy who speaks in all caps lock. You know, this guy's been puffing his chest out because he got, like, seventh place in the smack-off. Seventh place. Dude, get fourth a couple of times and then come see about me, all right? Get third. Hell, get first sometime in the smack-off and then come see about me. And I hate to break this to you guys because, you know, it keeps coming up, but Rome doesn't give a damn about what place people get in the smack-off, right? I've played this before. Let me play it again because some of you obviously weren't paying attention.
Rome's worried about who finished 2 through 10 in the smack-off. There's no black type in the smack-off. It doesn't matter if you're fourth, second, fifth, or seventh. It's all zero. And I honestly don't care what order the other people finish today. If you're not first, you're last.
Of course, you know, if you take just one quick look at Rick and his gigantic bald head, then suddenly all of the stupid things that he says and does, they all, you know, all the crappy material generated by his tiny brain, it all starts making perfect sense, Rome. Because have you seen this guy's melon? Oh, my God, man, it is downright prehistoric. You know what he reminds me of with that Stone Age cranium of his? He reminds me of that little video game dude from back in the day from the TurboGrafx-16, you know, Bonk. Bonk's Adventure. You know, a little caveman dude with a giant head that he would use to, like, crush rocks and defeat his enemies and stuff. And that's Rick, man. That's Bonk. Bonk in Buffalo. And look, before you accuse me of personal appearance, Mac, it's not, okay? This is scientific now. This is anthropological. I mean, it's a scientific fact that that cranial structure, while making for a formidable weapon, it doesn't leave much room for actual brain matter, okay? And Rick checks all the boxes, you know. He's got that Cro-Magnon jaw, that Neanderthal brow, that 3-inch-thick skull. Hey, listen, I'm not going to front like some kind of tough guy here, right? This guy would kick my ass in real life, I'll admit it. I mean, just one swift strike from that 3-inch-thick Australopithecus skull of his, and my face would disintegrate into, like, 74 pieces. But like I said, Rome, that caveman head of his, it doesn't leave much room for smarts, and it doesn't leave much room for Masterbuilt smokers. Hook me up.
Vic. All right, so that time he was not looking to go on that suicide mission, just get that line off so he can get run. The guy was in it to win it. He obviously did. Did you see that Photoshop on CBS Sports Network that he submitted a Bonk and Rick? That time he was in it to win it. He wants me to hook him up. So, I've got two of those things to give away today, and I've got three submissions, three quality submissions. I've got Rick in Buffalo firing the first shot. I've got Tyler in Edmonton coming in talking about Rick in Buffalo and all the fat Americans. And then you've got Vic with the Photoshop coming up. Two smokers to give away, three submissions, unless somebody shows up late to rip it. Let's go to the phones. Salt Lake City, Jeremy, you're next up. Hey, Jeremy, what's up? How are you?
What's up, Van Smack? Hey, when the week started, I thought Urban Meyer was going to take the D-bag of the week award, hands down. Let's let's run through his resume. Hiring a degenerate wide receivers coach, walking into homes of 17 and 18-year-old boys saying, hey, I'm going to take care of your kid. I'm going to teach him the right way. You know, when he was here in Salt Lake, he was an up-and-coming coach. Everybody labeled him a genius. He was hard-nosed, no-nonsense kind of coach. He was actually taking over for a legend in Ron McBride that a lot of people looked at as a father figure. And like anybody else, he let fame get to his head. He went to Florida, recruited Tim Tebow, the easiest recruit, the easiest guy to love. But a lot of people forget he also had a murderer on his team as well, too. Now, take that back to Ohio State, and we see the degeneration of Urban Meyer. We see his program coming down. We see the goals that he set.
Degeneration of that telephone call. I think my favorite part of that phone call was not him losing his place and losing his train of thought, but him saying that he recruited Tim Tebow at Florida, the easiest recruit he could ever get, but, quote, a lot of people forgot that he also had a murderer. I don't think anybody forgot that. I think we're all pretty aware that Aaron Hernandez played at Florida for Herb, just as we're all aware that Herb had 31 guys arrested while he was at Florida. Just as we're all aware that Herb has a couple of core values, and it's right there on the wall, right there under Woody Hayes' name, right there on the wall. Honesty, respect to women. And at the same time, this guy's got a guy on his staff, a wide receiver coach, who was accused of domestic violence, and then Herb himself lied about it. Flat out lied about it. Not reportedly, not allegedly, lied about it. And lied about it more than once. But his core values are respect to women and zero tolerance for domestic violence or abuse and honesty. His core values right there on the wall. You see it every single day when you pass through that facility. Yet he violates both those things. Guy's a straight hypocrite. And he's a liar. And now we wait. But again, how could you trust him? If you were a parent of a kid and he was in your living room, how can you trust one word that that guy said? Given that he lied and given what he lied about, why would you ever believe him going forward? We saw what he did at Florida. He left Florida. I've mentioned this a couple of times now. He leaves Florida, takes this leave, and then shows up at Ohio State and says, man, I really am concerned about the state of college football. I don't like a lot of what I see. You don't like a lot of what you see. You're concerned about the state of college football. For the last time, Herb, you are the state of college football. You're the problem. And then you have the issue at Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher, yet to coach one game at A&M, but is already generating more than his fair share of pub. Most of it corny. Most of it corny. You know, like that national championship plaque that Texas A&M Chancellor John Sharp gave to him. You remember that, right? That genius motivational device. There was a national championship plaque that did not have a date because it was only a matter of time before he led them to a national championship. And then he could fill in the date afterwards. Brilliant. Brilliant and corny as hell. But there's corny and then there's concerning. And I need more time to lay that out tomorrow. Let's try and get another phone call in here quickly because I badly want to give away the Masterbuilt smoker. Josh in Detroit. Man, wouldn't that be fitting if this guy were to get in here, under the gun, get on the air, and rip the smoker. Josh. The Josh in Detroit. Yo, player. It's all
What's
on you,
up,
Josh.
Romy?
What's up? How you doing?
Hey, Romy. Thanks for the vine. Don't worry, Jim. I'm not calling for a smoker. I'm just calling to smoke a fool. Jeff in Southfield lost his damn mind calling yesterday and throwing me in a blender. Or check that, Mike in Indy. I guess Mike in Indy had to create a new character because he couldn't win the smack off with himself. Hey, Mike, you should have picked a better city than Southfield. That's the armpit of Michigan. Oh, Rome, before I forget, I better wore the Woodscope. Since Woodscope says if I wore the show, I could be on the show. You see the lineup he has this week? I guess he needs all the help he can get. so I'll be on his show because his lineup is about as pathetic this Friday as Vic and NoCal calling in three trying to get a smoker. You know what, Jim? I'm just like a freaking rascal coming in and stealing it all. Smoke me. I'm out.
Josh made it to the end of a phone call. He really did. He didn't get run. He didn't get hammered. He didn't get humiliated. I mean, that plane was going down. That plane was going down. But it's like he hit the eject button right before I can run him. Hey, Josh, that's not bad at all. For you, that's pretty damn good. Not good enough to win, but pretty damn good. I've got two of these things to give away. Huge call brought to you by Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil, three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Tyler in Edmonton, you get one on the strength of that email. And now I've got one more to give away and two choices. Either Rick in Buffalo for killing Vic or Vic for killing Rick. It can't be both, right? That's why Tyler gets one. Tyler, you have yours. Vic calling for the third time this week to get one, and Rick starting things off by smashing him via email. Vic called him a coward for doing it via email. Vic came with the Photoshop. The winner is Rick. Rick, Vic, you need to call again.